I am a centurion in the imperial legions of the Roman army. I am a soldier, a career military man, and an officer. I have served Rome well, and I am proud of my record. In my tours of duty, I've seen many things, both remarkable and horrifying. As a soldier, I've learned to face it all with grit and steel. But a few years ago, there was one incident that truly shook me. It's about a man we executed. We nailed him to a cross and let him die as we do for many criminals. But he was like no man I've ever seen, before or since. His name was Jesus. He's from Nazareth, and I supervised his crucifixion. I've seen dozens of crucifixions, and I feel like I've been desensitized to the brutality of the cross. But this one was different. See, most of the riffraff we nail down, they don't bother me. But Jesus of Nazareth. I remember being warned about the Jewish religion when I first was assigned to Palestine. The Jews, they're uniquely devout. They believe in just one God. They take their religion very seriously, always talking about God, bringing up some statute their God requires, or going to their temple to worship. After arriving in Jerusalem, I took command of the 100 soldiers assigned to my detail. All the outfits in Jerusalem get their turn at crucifixion, performing the execution of condemned criminals. I am a soldier of Rome. Killing and blood I can handle. I prefer a fight, not a slaughter. And that's what crucifixion is. It's a nasty business, crucifying. We nail a man to wooden beams, string him up, and then wait for them to die. We watch as they suffocate under their own weight. It's a bad way to die. Dirty work. But orders are orders, and I do it. In Jerusalem, we crucify the guilty on a hill the locals call Golgotha, which means the skull. It's a barren heap for one purpose only. Execution. Once a man is hung up, I don't listen to the screams. I don't watch the pain. There's no need for me to be there. With Jesus, however, I got hooked into his death. In that moment, I wouldn't have been able to explain it, but I couldn't help but watch the whole affair. I don't know how Jesus came to be condemned. I heard it was some trumped-up job by the Jews to get rid of him. They said he claimed to be a king or something. I never even heard of him until that day. He was led out of Jerusalem, came staggering up the hill toward us, and what a sight. All bloody, beaten. He was half dead by the time he got to us. He'd been whipped so severely. He wore this crown of thorns, blood coming down his face, this ridiculous purple robe thrown about him. There was a large crowd gathered around him too, I remember. Some women were crying, but mostly the people were yelling and jeering at him. He was so beat up that some other guy had to carry his cross for him. Now, crosses were solid wood, extremely heavy. Usually the condemned person had to carry their own cross up the place of execution. It was like a final aspect of shame placed upon them, all part of their punishment. But Jesus was so weak, someone else had to do it for him. It was strange, though. Even in that terrible condition, a dignity to him. He got up to the top of the hill, and my men went right to work on him and the other two who were crucified with him. He screamed, like they all do, when they drove the nails through his flesh into the wood. We were about to lift up the cross when a soldier ran up to me with a message from Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea himself. It was an inscription meant to be placed over the head of Jesus. It read, King of the Jews. I didn't know anything about it, but the Jews sure didn't like it. They hooted, hollered, and told me not to put it up, but an order is an order, especially one from Pilate. So I obeyed. Then, like the other two criminals, we lifted up his cross and let the cross do its work. With that done, I relaxed a little. The dirty work was done, and it looked like his was going to be a quick death. Some men linger on a cross for days before they die, and I have to keep checking on them. But Jesus was so badly beaten already that he looked like he would go quickly. Now, normally, once the criminal is strung up, I ignore him. The men will divide up clothes amongst them, if there are any, and I just wait. I don't like to watch too close. But once we had Jesus up, some strange things began to happen. I began watching because something was going on. First, there was the crowd yelling at Jesus. There's seldom a big crowd at crucifixions. Nobody but relatives come to watch. But this time there was a crowd, and a lot of important religious leaders among them. They were taunting Jesus, bidding him to save himself if he did, in fact, save others. They mocked him as something called the Christ and as the King of Israel. Even the criminals hanging beside him, they reviled him too. They wouldn't let him die in peace. And then, at about noon, the sky began blackening. It was like a mighty thunderstorm rolling in, but there was no storm. It was the most oppressive, unnatural darkness I've ever experienced. The air was heavy, waiting, like the very heavens themselves had something to say about this man. And then Jesus spoke. I'm still not sure what to make of it, where it comes from, but his words pierced my heart. Someone brought him something to drink, and he said something to one of his friends about his mother, and then those words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Those words sent a chill through my body. I've heard all sorts come from the mouths of those being crucified, the mouths of dying men, but nothing like this. Usually it's cries for mercy or it's curses upon us. This wasn't madness or delirium speaking. He meant it. Even in his agony, I could see his concern. I could see the grimness in his face. He was engaged in battle. I looked at this suffering man, slowly dying, who had just forgiven his enemies. And I desperately wanted to leave, to be anywhere but here. Something was wrong in all of this. Something foul, something evil, and I did not want to be involved. But I drew myself up and stayed. I'm a soldier of Rome, and soldiers of Rome do not run. I went over to my men and began to talk with them. We tried to joke like we usually do, but I could tell everyone was just on edge. We all wished it was over. And then, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it turned really dark. The sky was absolutely black. Nothing moved, not even the air. Nobody moved a muscle. It was like all of heaven and earth stopped and waited for what would come next. And then Jesus suddenly screamed out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And at those words, rocks began splitting, loud cracks. The ground shook as in an earthquake, and I did too. I was terrified. And for a fleeting moment, I thought I felt the very Spirit of God agonizing in our midst. And then the shaking stopped. The world was silent. I looked up and saw that he was dead. And to this day, I don't know where the words came from, but I heard myself say, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." We all stood there like dead men. The crowd was silent. Nobody moved. Fear was on the faces of even my most hardened veterans. Without talking, we simply stayed away from that cross. We did our duty. We checked on the other two men being crucified, but we did not get within a few steps of that one. Finally, night began to fall, and the crowd went home, and some men came, Jewish leaders, I think, with Pilate's permission to take the body. They took the body down, left with it. And after they left, I felt like I could breathe again. I still don't understand what happened that day. As I look back, I figure this man had to be somebody. Was what I said correct? Is he truly the Son of God? But if so, why did he let himself become crucified? I know war, I know battles, and a battle raged on that hill. I know it. The mocking, the anger, the darkness, the quaking. His forgiveness. When I remember his words, I feel tremendous guilt. If I indeed crucified the Son of God, then I truly need his forgiveness. My tour in Palestine is now over. I've been transferred back to Rome. But I keep reliving the events of Golgotha, the sound of the nails, the agony of his screams. And each time I do remember also his words of forgiveness. And in them, all I can do is hope.